We're going to sing one more carol, and during the last verse of that carol, Angels from the Realms of Glory, we're not singing another carol, yeah. So it's time now for the children, if they want to go and upstairs and have some activities, age 3 to 10. If you want to use the creche, you may not need to use the creche, but if you want to, it's just through there for children up to the age of 3. So that's great. Okay, well, I suppose some of us even now wonder what all the fuss about Christmas is. I've been traditionally a bit of a bar humbug in my family, and there is one other person who thinks similar to me, and so we had a bit of a moan about Christmas earlier. However, I don't want to put you on a damper, because as I get older, I'm beginning to like everything that goes with it a bit more as well. But you may wonder what all the fuss is about, and if you were to go on the streets and ask different people about Christmas, you get many different answers. Christmas is about time spent with family, time off work, a time of overindulgence. I got a text from my squash partner. He said, "This is the last blast before major overeating." This comes from the guy who hoovers up the very last crumbs from his staff cake afternoon, which happens every Friday, yet he never puts weight on, and that's the worst part of it. We don't like people who eat lots but don't put weight on. There's something about Christmas that gives us permission, even the most careful eater, to go over the top. Christmas is the only times where chocs are eaten before breakfast. But it's okay, it's Christmas. Then breakfast, and then there's more choc. And then you may, on Christmas Day, pop out to church at Christmas Day. What happens at the end of the service? Choc. Then you go home and there's more choc. Then there's a huge dinner, there's many helpings, there's pudding, there's brandy sauce, there's brandy butter, then there's more choc. Then there's a buffet supper, which you don't want but you must have, and then there's more choc. By the end of the day, we become like Mr. Creosote from The Meaning of Life by Monty Python. He walks into the restaurant, he eats everything on the menu, and finally eats the last after eight mint on offer and then explodes. That's Christmas Day for many. One person here is very happy about this because he will sell you fitness equipment in January to shed those extra pounds. Or Christmas is about peace and goodwill to everyone, leaving the past in the past, burying the hatchet perhaps from family feuds from last Christmas, hopefully not starting another one this Christmas, being nice to those in the office for a couple of weeks, because it's time when everyone's in a good mood. After all, it's Christmas. Others feel that Christmas is for the kids and the grandkids. It's about Santa, decorations, trees. Others, it's about prezzies and surprise prezzies for some. Well, that's okay if your spouse likes surprises. But it's okay if she likes the surprise. But if you get it wrong, it goes back to the shop. I always keep the receipt. But I dropped you hints all the time. What hint? But I even told you what I wanted. I spelt it out to you. I wrote it down on a piece of... I don't remember that. Some say Christmas is all about giving, and we quote the words of Jesus saying it's more blessed to give than to receive. Quite a few kids would say it's more blessed to receive than to give. Others see Christmas as another extended period of loneliness. A reminder, perhaps, that a loved one is no longer here. It can be a sad time for some. My dad died on Christmas Day, and since then Christmas has not been a happy time for my mum. Others face a few more long days sleeping rough in the freezing cold. Some actually will die this Christmas. Some will be so drunk that they won't remember Christmas at all, or the embarrassing things that they said or did. then they'll wonder why friends and family are no longer speaking to them. What's all the fuss about is the question. And a better question would be, who's all the fuss about? The clue really has to be in the title, Christ Mass. Yet increasingly it seems that Christmas is about anything but Christ. It's Xmas. And the X, at least grammatically, but it speaks volumes so often, it cancels out Christ and puts everything else in his place. Things that are legit and things that are illegit. It could be called food mass, or family mass, or booze mass, or prezi mass, or carol mass, or binge eating mass, or kiddie mass, but rarely Christ mass. But is that not true for most of us all year round? We busy ourselves with everything and anything else, but never take the time to reflect on what really matters. Why am I here? How did I get here? What am I doing? Where am I heading? Is there a God? What happens, if anything, when I die? What's the point of life? Is this life really meant simply to be this treadmill of eat, work, eat, play, sleep, eat, work, eat, play, sleep? Are we really just here to cram everything as much as we can into our 24-hour day and never think about why we're here? Maybe you keep yourself busy so you don't have to think about these things. But if you were to be honest and allow yourself to stop and think for a moment, there are times when you wonder, is this really all there is? Freddie Mercury said, "Does anybody know what we're living for?" You see, there are times where we find ourselves longing for something more. Something more satisfying, something that will last, something that makes you whole and complete, something that causes you to be clean inside, guilt gone, something that frees you from having to live in fear of what other people think all the time, something that stops you being afraid of life, something that gives you an unshakable, rock-solid identity, a sense of eternal belonging and a self-worth that knows no limit. Something that gives you a rock-solid security in this life and beyond the grave. Something that takes away your fear of death. So when it comes, you can look at it right in the eye and say, "So what? Is that the worst you can do?" Bible says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting?" Something that gives you hope when there appears to be no hope. We always try and get positives from everything, but let's face it, sometimes, in some situations, we cannot see the wood for the trees, and there isn't a positive to be found. We need something that gives us hope when there appears to be no hope. Something that comforts you when nothing else can or will. But the problem's right there, you see. It's not a something, it's a someone. It's not anyone either, it's only one. Trouble is, when you and I get time off to think like Christmas, we can think on everything else but Christ. Maybe for you, Christmas really is Xmas. And Xmas promises to be better than last year. It used to start end of November, now it starts end of October on the telly and everything, and now it's end of September the toys start coming in. And it promises to be better than last year. This one will be the one. But it rarely, if ever, does live up to the hype, the build-up, the expectation. And then it's gone so quick, and then what? It's on to the next thing, hoping against hope. Maybe Easter, maybe summer holidays, maybe when I get a bit more money, maybe when I get a bigger house or a better job, maybe next Christmas, things will be better. I'll have something more. I'll find satisfaction that lasts. Solomon was the wisest man in the world at that time. He was king of Jerusalem. He was world famous. He had everything money could buy and more. He worked hard. He studied hard. He played hard. He indulged in everything that this world has to offer, the good and the bad. And this was his conclusion, he writes. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. Bob Geldof had everything too, yet he said, always, 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 without relief, there's this black hole inside and it never goes away. You wouldn't imagine someone like that thinking that. What about Bono from U2? I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I wonder if you ever think like that, or just in that sort of way. Perhaps more so as you get older. But you see, if you carry on reading Solomon, he begins to realize what the problem is, that he's left God out of the picture. He's been living life without the one he was created to be living with. And he says this, God has set eternity in the hearts of everyone, yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. C.S. Lewis, the Narnia person, he said this, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. You see, God has deliberately designed us to find our deepest satisfaction and joy in him. Christ is not the reason for the season, but the reason for life itself. The trouble is, so often we look in the wrong places. Again, the Narnia man says this, human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. That's it, you see. We're looking for the things in life that actually only Christ can give us, which is why we get disappointed. This Christmas, look at Christ. Discover Christ. Put the Christ back into Xmas. Well, how do you do that? How do you put the Christ back into where he wasn't? Well, probably the most closest most of us get to about what Christmas is all about is the baby Jesus. He's cute. We all love a little wickle baby. I love babies. They're great. And toddlers. But so often with Jesus, we leave him in the manger. Why would we do that? We don't do that with any other baby. Why would we do that? Because a Jesus who remains a helpless baby will never really disturb us. He'll never make any demands on us. We don't really need to take him seriously. But like any baby, there'd be something awfully wrong if he remained a baby. We all expect a baby to grow up into a toddler, a boy or a girl, a teen, and then an adult. That's normal, that's natural, that's the natural process of things. And it would be a great cause for concern if that didn't happen. And so the baby Jesus did grow up. There isn't a baby in a manger anymore. Yet so often we're happy to keep Jesus as that lovely baby so that we don't investigate any further. But let me tell you this, you miss out on following the rest of his life on earth. But if you did just follow Jesus' life in the eyewitness accounts of the Gospels, you'd find actually it's very exciting. There is never a dull moment. Things get much more interesting than when he was a baby in the manger. He does some incredible things. He heals the blind, some of those that were born blind and had never seen before. He feeds 5,000 people with a young boy's packed lunch. He walks on water, he commands the wind and waves to stop raging and they obey him. So that the people with him were terrified of him because he seemed to be able to have power over the elements. He even rose dead people back to life. Well, you may be sitting there and you may think, oh, well, I don't believe that. That's nonsense. No one can do that. Dynamo, Magician Impossible. I don't know, has anybody ever seen Dynamo, Magician Impossible? Some have. Fascinating program. He placed his hands on a flowing water fountain in the middle of a public square, and you saw when he placed it, ice going all the way across it, stopped the flowing water, takes his hand up, it's all frozen. The crowd are totally astonished. Another time he was getting fed up of the media crowding to him to sign this and that, so he walked off, and the cameras panned and followed him, and he vanished into thin air in front of the watching public, leaving only the clothes he was wearing in a heap on the floor. No one knew where he'd gone. He even walked down, and this is one thing I just could not get my hat on, he even walked down a vertical skyscraper in front of an astonished onlookers with nothing but his feet. He dropped down and then just walked down it and then went to the bottom and walked away. Everyone saw this that was there. I watched it on the telly. The question was, this was the interesting thing, whatever you believe about Dynamo, and I don't believe much about him. The question wasn't, did he do it? But how did he do it? It may well be an illusion. It may well be something supernatural, but it certainly happened, and it left the public amazed. But there was one thing you couldn't say. There was no question that he did it. And that was just last week. Yet many people today have real difficulty with the eyewitnesses who saw Jesus walking on the water, vanishing when a crowd was about to throw him off a cliff, and turning water into wine. And they were the very same people who the public witnessed Dynamo do his magic tricks. Now, I'm not saying Jesus is a magician. He's far, far more than that. Those who were there were eyewitnesses. And they wondered how he did it, but there was no doubt that he did it. It happened. How do we know what history is? Further we go back, it has to depend on records by eyewitnesses at the time. But the Bible writers then, they must have just made it up. Yet you know, and a lot of people don't know this, I can give you reliable records from historians at that period who didn't follow Jesus, and some who were his arch enemies, Roman historians, Jewish historians. The evidence for what Jesus said and did is overwhelming. It includes his crucifixion and resurrection in the history annals. It's confirmed both inside and outside the Bible. No one ever gets further enough to investigate. You see, true Christian faith is based on historical fact, not fiction. Yet often you and I choose not to investigate. And it's so easy to just, with something we don't actually know about, cast it off as a fairy story or a nice Christmas story of a special baby born in a manger 2,000 years ago. But let me say, it's way, way more than that. Because Jesus grew from a baby to an adult human being like you and I. And let me finish by saying this. I am not a bar humbug when it comes to this. Here is the wonder of Christmas. This is what Christmas is actually about. That God became human. That God became human. Isaiah 7:14, which is what Rachel read to us, was, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. I have many atheist friends, and they talk about, well, it's ridiculous to believe in talking snakes and virgin births and everything, but that's because God's taken out of the picture. But you'd have a very, very weak God who couldn't do those things. It depends whether you believe in God or not. If you believe in God, then all those things are possible. If you don't believe in God, of course they're not. Both are logical steps. But unlike Dynamo, Jesus consistently claimed to be God in a human body, God with us. He said the scriptures written 700 years ago were actually all about me. In Christ, God became one of us. The Creator stooped down to live among the created. That is the incredible thing about Christmas. So God experienced everything. You see, some people say, what does God know about suffering? What does God know what it's like to be me? He experienced everything you experience of what it is to be human except wrongdoing. He felt hungry. God did. He cried. He got angry. He grew tired. He needed sleep in order to function. He loved with all his heart, and yet he knew rejection more than anybody else. He knew what extreme abuse was. He was isolated. He was alienated. He was even anxious. And when they hammered nails into his hands and feet, he bled real blood. He had to be certified dead by the Romans. Yet he said and did more than any mere man could ever do. You know what this is said? What he said directly to his enemies, he claimed in public, looked them right in the eye, and he said, If you destroy this body, I will raise it up again in 3 days. The very interesting thing, been many hoaxes, all disproved, the many interesting thing is this: his body has never been found. There has been no sign or trace of DNA or decay all the way down the years. They found other more ancient graves, but they found nobody in his grave. All of the religious political leaders are dead. Their bodies lie in the grave, except for Lenin, who lives in a glass case of preservative, and the Kims of North Korea. But the tomb of Jesus is empty, fact. Let me pose this question. So often we think and we hear, all religions are just the same. Then why don't all religious leaders rise from the dead? Because as far as I know, only one is risen, and that is Jesus Christ. And the thing that amazes me and moves me and bowls me over every time I think about it is that the face of God, if you were to see God, the face of God is human. The one who sits on the throne of the universe, as we heard this morning, is a human being. He's one of us. Now, if God ever wanted to get closer to his creation than that, he couldn't, because he's become one of us. You can't get closer to humans than be a human. Let me ask you this. What have you got to lose this evening? If Jesus is who he says he is, then surely you can't let him go without investigating fully. We make informed choices about all sorts of things, but when it comes to Christianity, we don't even bother investigating. That's not a choice. Jesus says, seek me and you will find me. Knock and the door will be open to you. And when you find him, as many will be able to say in this church, he will totally turn your life upside down and transform you from the inside out. And it's not a New Year's resolution, and it's not a phase. It just lasts forever and ever, because it's relationship, not religion. Funny for me to say, we're not religious here. That's stupid, isn't it? We're in a church. We're not religious. The reason for everything is our relationship. You were made to find him, and in finding him, you will be complete. Someone said this, no one need fear to listen to the voice of God unless he has already made up his mind to resist it. What's all the fuss about? Or should we say, who's all the fuss about? It's all about the man who is God. Put the Christ back into Xmas. Put the Christ back into your life. And you'll never forget this time of year again. And you'll never forget today again. Thank you for listening. Let us sing.